Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Extra long pause. Don't want to cut myself off. DJ Brett Valentini here on Sox Pop on the farm with my best miners buddy. Oh, you know, maybe just best buddy, period. You don't know how much time we spend outside of the studio together, getting pizzas for each other, throwing the ball, some competitive wiffle ball games. It's really unbelievable. With Darren Black, our miners expert, towing most of the load for us on miners coverage. It is Sox Pop on the farm, number 46. Promotions is the motion. Doesn't make any sense, but it's sort of a little nod to the best song ever recorded. I'll let you figure it out. You know what? At some point, the way the White Sox are playing baseball this summer, we're just going to end up having podcasts, maybe even the farm podcast. We're just have podcasts like talking about favorite songs or movies or favorite meals, favorite Asian cuisine. You know, hats off to Asian American Pacific Islander night at Sox Park tonight. Okay, Darren, welcome. We are going to be talking about promotions. Guys, in the first half, we're going to talk a little about guys. I mean, some are obvious. We've mentioned them before, who need to be at another level. Hopefully you'll have a couple surprises maybe up your sleeve, so it just won't be Tim Elko for a half hour. And then after our break, we may talk about a few guys that either everybody's thinking should be promoted and you're maybe taking the contrary belief, or maybe just guys we would have expected going into the season that by midseason or by the draft should be promoted and it's looking like they really shouldn't be. Maybe guys who may end up spending a full season at an affiliate when you really thought, like pretty much any prospect, you want to sort of move up every year if you can. First off, before we get to obvious promotions and all the motion that goes along with that, let's just cover, because I think we've only done a couple podcasts in 3 weeks, whatever. We haven't really acknowledged MVPs, so let's just do that right off the bat. I mean, Darren puts all this hard work in, and then I'm like, let's talk about something else. Let's challenge the expert instead of just chatting about the MVPs. I'm not easy on Darren. We're working him every time, even in the podcast. He's a friendly, happy, jovial sort, but you know, I'm not because of me, because I'm working him too hard. Okay, Oscar Colas, starting at Charlotte, Oscar Colas, MVP 3 weeks ago, hitting the heck out of the ball. Then he sort of got cold, but you know, he's still fitting somewhere in between AAA and the majors, I think, at this point. I'm not sure AAA can hold him. Victor Reyes was the week after that. Again, another guy probably fitting about the same profile, mashing hell out of the ball. And then this week coming up, published along with this podcast, it's Stephen Piscotty, a guy that you just would never thought would be associated with the White Sox at all, but he's a Charlotte Knight, and he just mashed the hell out of the ball. It's an outfielder bonanza. A little retready, maybe, but not Oscar. Oscar's going to get mad for hearing that. Birmingham Barons. Oh, this is a good one from 3 weeks ago. Caleb Freeman. This guy, it really seems like he's back on track, and that's exciting because the White Sox just need anything, and bullpen arms included. Caleb, going back to what Caleb was 2-3 years ago, oh, that would be sweet. Tyler Neslani. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. I know I used to call him Nelsony. And then somebody had to say, hey, you idiot, would you read his name? It's not Nelsony. I don't think I ever called him that, but I'm sure I at least printed it wrong in my first update. Perpetual AA All-Star. He got a nimble at AAA last year and didn't do so well, so maybe this year will be different. And Jose Rodriguez, a guy who might come up in this whole promotions talk. Jose Rodriguez, who every year gets me really down, and I like wipe him completely off my prospects list. And then come August, it's like, wow, what was I thinking? I never took him off my list. He's my number one guy. Winston-Salem MVPs, 3 weeks ago. Just Xerox this one. DJ Gladney. Again, a guy who's probably going to come up in this podcast. Michael Turner, 2 weeks ago. This week's is Cole Seamus. A guy who's come up a lot in our podcast as well. All the way down in Kannapolis. Still haven't determined whether he is related to Reggie Willits. It seems like an odd last name, but I haven't actually bothered to look it up. Potential son of Reggie Willits. It's Bryce Willits. 3 weeks ago was the MVP. Connor McCullough, no hit man. This guy's pitching the hell out of the ball. Real nice to see. He was 2 weeks ago. And, oh, I can go ahead and say it. My guy. I've claimed like 12 guys. And then I just discard them when they slump. But Jacob Burke, University of Miami Hurricane, has played like 3 games and has probably 12 stolen bases and 12 homers or something like that. Darren Black has acknowledged it. Okay, MVP's out of the way at the top. Let's get to the meat of this, Darren. I want to know some the guys who really come to mind. I suppose there's some obvious ones that we can maybe move over quickly, but whatever your priority list might be in terms of guys who are really, at this point, aching for promotion, maybe even got an assignment, maybe like in the case of Tim Elko, maybe an assignment to begin with that might have been a little low, but certainly now it's like, why are they still playing at the level they're playing? Names that jump out at you there.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with low A for now, since they seem to be clearly the best team in the system. It's due to their pitching mostly. I'm not going to, you know, Peyton Pallett and Tanner McDougal are having, you know, really good starts, but they're coming off of no baseball. Yeah. So I think letting them stay there is perfectly okay, though they are doing really well, which is a pleasant surprise after not pitching for a whole entire year. But I think Shane Murphy should definitely get a shot to move up to high A, the lefty college draft pick. The command is awesome right now, showing some really good strikeout potential as well. It's near 30%, but when you're walking less than 6% of the guys in low A, maybe go against better guys.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just swinging at everything. I don't know. It is low A. But maybe give them a little bit more of competition to go against. Give them some guys that have been in pro ball for more than 3 months, however long.
A 25% like difference seems abnormal. Let's challenge them. Sure. Yeah, it does.
And then kind of other than that, from the pitching side, I mean, there are a ton of guys like Connor McCullough we just talked about, but those are kind of – he was undrafted, so he'll move up. You could go to double A next week for a couple of starts, and that wouldn't surprise me. That's kind of how guys like those are. But maybe he's also Cole Seamus. I don't know if he keeps putting it together. We'll see. But if we look lower at the bullpen arms, I'm not really too confident in saying one should be promoted over the other. So just from the pitching standpoint, I think Shane Murphy should be number one, should go up as soon as possible. And then the bats, Tim Elko. he hasn't been doing as well lately. He was never going to be doing as well as he did to start the year. But again, just a healthy ISO over 200. Go see if he can continue to do that in high A.
It's interesting, Darren, especially a guy like him who clearly – this isn't a guy who's maybe is playing his first game stateside or something. This is a guy who – part of the reason, presumably, the White Sox maybe grabbed him. I mean, not like they didn't use a high pick on him or anything. But I mean, part of the reason why they grabbed him as opposed to maybe another bat or yet another arm would be that the guy did have leadership. I mean, he was the sort of the heart of a team that won an NCAA title. I mean, those are intangibles you think would incline you to promote quicker, not less. I can't imagine what he's like not picking up from the hitting coach that they're like, no, I still need to see this for a full game before you go up to high A Tim Elko NCAA champion. It just seems seems really odd that he's not a guy, you know, I mean, he's not being exactly fast tracked when you're 20 something years old and you've had this pretty substantial experience and high leverage situations. And yet he's still, you know, I'm going to say languishing at Kannapolis.
Yeah, I don't know why he's there. That's the gist of it. He's just a first base DH guy, so there's not, you know, you can't fit him in other places. Yeah. Maybe that's what they're thinking. They want, you know, a guy like DJ Gladney to get more time at high A, stuff like that. And again, with the bonus, they didn't put a ton of money into his development. It's not really a key thing that probably – whoever decides promotions, I don't know who would be in charge. Probably Chris Getz, I would assume. But I'm sure he's not going to bed at night thinking, oh, Tim Elko's got to be in Winston-Salem. It's probably, oh, Colson's back isn't, you know, working.
Stuff like that.
But I do think it could lead to some stagnation for some players that just kind of just mash all the time. And then they're not really, you know, getting any kind of advancement there. So I think I think he deserves it. Since it is, by the time this comes out, it might be June. I don't know. If you're listening, it might be June. I don't know. But at that point, you should start thinking about promotion, stuff like that. Yeah. Noah Schultz is coming back this week. So maybe Shane Murphy or someone, one of those guys, Connor McCullough, gets promoted to the Dash this next week. But hopefully all this gets kind of settled out as their, you know, top prospects who are perpetually injured are back on the teams.
Yeah. We did delay our last podcast much longer than I thought. And that was the really expansive one that was full of really good information from our minors expert, Darren Black. Just taking a wide angle lens at the system. But that is no reason for you to think that this podcast is going to be sat on. We are not traveling in time. It is still May. It will be May when you listen to this. I don't know. Maybe if you decide to listen to yours late, you're like, you know what? I'm going to save it. I always save my Socks Pop on the Farm podcast for the weekend because then I can really relax, you know, unzip, crack a beer. Everything's great. But unless you're doing that, no, it's still May. But anyhow, just decided to interrupt you with that. I don't know why, Darren. Okay. You already referred to I don't know if we're ready to move levels yet, switch levels or not, but DJ Gladney may be the guy who should be howling for promotion. Again, not that you want to rush guys too quickly. It's like, man, you know, I know the dilemma is always like, wow, he's really grooving. He's in a groove now. You know, we move his home clubhouse. We give him a new batting helmet. You know, I don't know. He takes a different commute to the park. You know, what's going to happen to screw this guy up? But these are the challenges you got to throw at players. And boy, he seems like he's been up to every challenge. He's even playing seems like a pretty decent left fielding.
Yeah, I mean, for DJ Gladney, I think he was drafted out of high school, so this is his third full professional season. So it's not, I know he is 21, and he's 3 years younger than Tim Elko, but he's been playing professional baseball a lot longer than Tim Elko, hundreds of games more. So I think at this point where the K rate decline, about 10% from last year, looks real, I would say. It could easily keep going up, but it striking out just under a quarter of the time, which is good for him, looks like that's real. It's kind of been steady for a few weeks, hasn't really changed that much. I really wish he would walk more, but he's also still showing that huge power stroke that he showed in low A last season. So it's just kind of like the continuation of the power and then the better, you know, plate discipline, better decisions on swings, that I think he does deserve that look in double A. He was in Project Birmingham, so it wouldn't be his first kind of intro there. But instead of being, you know, end of season tiredness, get him early season, like actually ready to go out and go play those type of guys. Mm-hmm. But probably the biggest name that I think deserves a promotion at this point is Wilfred Veras, just because, again, Project Birmingham guy, actually did really well last year as a Project Birmingham guy. He's just doing things that I just didn't expect him to do. He has 12 stolen bases.
What is going on with that, Darren? He's got stolen bases, and he's stealing efficient. It's not like he's tried 30 times. Yeah, he's stealing very efficiently.
Yeah, and he's hitting .325, the .420 BABIP. That'll obviously go down, but he's still just hitting the ball really, really well. I would like to see him have more power there. But if you're able to kind of game it and hit .325 at this point at 20 in low A or high A, then maybe try your luck at double A and see if you can run into some more power at that point. But I think those are the two at high A that I think probably deserve it the most. I do want to wait a little bit longer with Terrell Tatum. I just kind of want to see where the strikeout rate kind of is at the end of June. If it increases as he, you know, gets more tired in a season after not playing a ton last year. And he played in 42 games last year. He's at 39 right now. So he's getting right up at that zone where he was suspended at. So I do kind of just want to see how it goes with an extra month on his end. But if Terrell Tatum keeps doing what he's done for the first 39 games, then he should definitely get some looks at double A, probably after the draft class starts getting into the system. And then for pitching, I don't really, you could say Jonathan Cannon, Tristan Seavers, Stevers probably definitely, but it's a reliever. Those guys can definitely move fast and not a huge deal that a reliever is getting promoted. But I think from high A to double A is a huge difference. And especially for pitchers now, cause the ball in double A, is pre-sticked. however you want to call it. I don't know. Pre-sticking sounds weird. I don't know if you want
to. I had people unzipping and listening to a podcast, so I've obviously flubbed all of my lines so far. So pre-sticking, we'll go with it.
Yeah, but so it would be a bigger difference at that point. So I don't want to send them up or any kind of younger guys at that point. So I would probably stick with the pitching there. Just keep it there for another – I'm not really remembering when the first half of the season ends, maybe late June, early July. But same kind of time frame as you're looking at Terrell Tatum to see if he loses some steam. So probably June, July is when those first promotions should be. But hopefully Colson Montgomery is on the team in July. So we'll see if him getting on a team moves anybody.
Yeah, there's a guy that we can just slot in and say, would have thought he'd be promoted, but he hasn't played. He can't be promoted. Not really any fault of his own, but, I mean, there's an easy name. Let's take a break, even though we still got more guys to talk about positively. I don't know. Let's take a break. We'll come back in a minute. We'll continue our discussion, maybe going up the system, or maybe we'll quickly seg into guys who surprisingly don't see promotions in their future. And if Darren wants a couple hot takes there, I'm willing to go with that. I'm willing to follow. I'm willing to be educated, as always. We'll be back. We're going to start with an essay question in the second half, so stick around. And Darren's going to scramble to try and figure out what weird thing I'm going to ask him. See you in a minute. White Sox fans, it is Sox Pop on the Farm, number 46. Promotions is the motion. Don't know what it means? Just decide to title with that. Okay. I've been tying my tongue this whole podcast, so it's probably best I stop talking as soon as possible. But Darren, one thing I want to know is, and I'm just going to ask about hitters, or you can answer for pitchers as well. And this goes to, I guess, a little bit to our last podcast where we took a little bit broader look at things. But I know it's different whether it's a speed guy or a glove first guy or power bat, et cetera. But as long as we're talking about things that you need to see, you know, both with your eyes on the field, but, you know, more likely with these guys, just in the stat lines you're reading, what's the thing that jumps out most when it improves, it says a guy's ready for motion? Is it some combination of K rate, walk rate? I mean, again, I know it could be different for players. Is there one sort of concept, given there's no like war in the minors or whatever, if that could even be the answer, is there something that leaps out to you that says, you know, okay, this guy seems ready, or he's taking a turn, or he's stagnating?
Yeah, I think there's several things. I always come back to the main thing for both pitchers and hitters, but more so hitters, is just if you're increasing your walks or lowering your strikeout rate, it doesn't have to be both. You can have a healthy median on there. Like DJ Gladney's having a fantastic year with lower walk rate and lower K rate. He's just deciding to hit the crap out of the ball more often.
Flex his swing.
And especially when they move up levels. So one of the things that we'll talk about Jose Rodriguez more here, but one of the things that we really liked about him last year and the previous year was that he would move up and the K rate would kind of stay the same, maybe go up a little, but pretty much stay the same where it was in a low A compared to his 2022 with Birmingham and Winston-Salem in 2021. So it's just nice seeing that as you move up, presumably face harder pitchers and you're not kind of losing your element on there. Sure, maybe there's going to be a drop in power, but some of that is just going to be going from Winston-Salem to a harder ballpark in Birmingham. That's just kind of the lay of the land for the White Sox organization. And then finally, I guess to bring it back to the Terrell Tatum portion of it, especially for guys from the 2021 draft class playing in their kind of second full season of professional baseball and not getting tired by the end and not the same mistakes at the end and all that, making sure that you're still playing maybe not exactly like you were in May,
yeah.
As you are going to be in August, but still like a higher level than probably what you did at the end of your first full professional season.
Yeah, you don't want them falling off a cliff, and that would be
alarming. Like Cliff Montgomery did. You fell off a cliff, and so that's
we still haven't found him. Jeez, yes, Colson, stop with the dirt biking in the off season, man. Come on. All right, see, we got a little glimpse of the special sauce. It, you're not really sure how it's going to get used, so there's no real secrets being totally given away here. But yeah, listen, it made me think. Hey, let's ask Darren. Let's figure out what maybe one of the things he really wants to key on, or that always jumps out. And that's a cool answer. I'm glad I almost guessed it. Okay, Darren, we brought him up. And again, maybe now it's just become the cluster portion of the podcast where it's a free for all. But Jose Rodriguez is obviously a big name. We had high hopes based on how he ended the season, though he ended the season with injury. But the month prior to that, holy cow, he looked like he was ascending to like number one prospect status. And he's had a bad year. It's picked up, as indicated by, I believe, his MVP status here in the last MVPs unveiled for May. Okay, that said, that's five games or whatever. What's going on with him? He's a guy I guess we would have expected to see. We could have maybe seen in Charlotte maybe to begin the season, and it doesn't seem like we're going to see him in Charlotte soon. Is he a guy who should move to Charlotte either way, or what is his challenge here? Because he's being challenged.
So I think, if he was doing what he did in the middle of last season, like hitting .320 on base, 350, but his slugging is still in the threes as well, just because it's Birmingham, then I would say move him up, and then you'll see the uptick in power and see kind of what he's closer to. But the weird thing is the power is actually looking pretty okay right now. He's hitting more homers. He's halfway to his, career high in professional homers. Just oddly enough, he's not getting great wood on anything that's not these homers. Mm-hmm. He only has five other extra base hits, which usually is an indicator that you're kind of more or less getting lucky on the fly balls that you're hitting that are just kind of barely getting out. If you're not supplementing your extra base or your homers with a decent amount of extra base hits, it kind of looks fluky. That was why back in, whatever it was, 2018, 19, with Gavin Sheets in Birmingham, where he was hitting a ton of doubles, triples here and there, but like 30 doubles, something like that, and like 10 homers. And people are like, oh, well, the power's not there. And you just see it. And then it is there lower. It's in the 30 doubles. Yeah. He just has to work on getting that extra lift and launch into it. And in the majors, he's been decent at that, against righties at least. But the issue with Jose Rodriguez is the K rate it's far and away the highest it's ever been. The closest is when he was 18 in the Arizona. I don't think it was the complex league. It was just the AZL, the old Arizona summer league, whatever
it's called.
But yeah, it's at 27.3 right now. 5% higher than next worst when, again, he was 18. He's just missing stuff. He's not – I don't know if he's just not seeing the ball well, if the sticky ball that they're using is just getting to him and he can't lay off better curveballs and sliders, breaking pitches, stuff like that. But he's really struggling right now. And it's not the usual kind of thing that that happens. He doesn't have extended stretches of near 30% K rate. It's very weird and disheartening.
Yeah. Okay. Good point. Cause my follow up here is you've got, Yolbert Sanchez, who, actually was okay. Maybe even at Double A, he still wasn't really showing that power, but he was hitting, he was getting on base. It got him sort of quickly, maybe not quicker than expected, but to Charlotte, he stagnated there. Which is odd because he was hitting in Birmingham. He's not hitting in Charlotte. Okay. Lenin Sosa, a guy who mashed hell out of the ball. I mean, this was last year this time, right? Mashed his way. What? Did he go directly to the majors? Whatever. It was a very brief stop over in Charlotte. He's continuing to mash hell out of the ball in Charlotte. Again, peripherals, whatever aside, these are two guys who hit in Birmingham, which, again, is always impressive because, apparently, hard hit there. It's certainly hard to put the ball over the fence. Now Jose is a guy who's been either like crazy hot where it's like, yeah, he's our number one guy, or is this guy even ever going to make it to Charlotte? Is there any like heads or tails you can make of what's going on with him? Because now, you know, you're bringing out that this year, as opposed even maybe to last year, although I'm sure there were some contact issues early last year when he was struggling, now it's this contact thing where it's like, no, I mean, I'm not really sure how that just pops up. I mean, short of like vision problems or, I don't know, sticky ball thing, whatever, pre-stick. I mean, do you have any insight about what might be going on? I mean, I guess there's hope that he can still pick it up and he's just going to be this like slow starter or something. But I mean, this is very troubling given that Double A was supposed to almost be an afterthought for him this year.
Yeah, he should have been up at Charlotte at this point after having a really good start in Birmingham. That's kind of the lay of the land that should be for him, especially how he finished last year. If you want to look at it, you know, a little bit more positively, he's kind of solved his power issue. He is hitting homers, which was the thing that people were knocking on him last year. But it's dented every other part of his game at the plate. So I'm not really too sure what it is. If he does start doing well June and on, which is what he did last year, even that is still concerning because this is now just
you can't pump too much of the season. Yeah. Ready? Yeah.
Like what's he doing in the off season that this is kind of happening? Maybe Chris Getz has to get with him to say, what are you doing in the off season? This is your second straight kind of poor start that you've had. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think whenever we talk about the White Sox, the major league team, when guys just start striking out all the time, it's usually like, oh, they're not paying attention or yada, yada, yada. So I don't know kind of if it's kind of the same thing here where he's just like, oh, I should be in Charlotte. And then he's not performing at Double A. Or if he was told over the offseason, like, hey, we need to see you hit some more homers. Can you go out and do that? And that's all he worked on. He worked on kind of getting bigger and stuff like that, and didn't work on what he had been doing well, which was getting the ball in play and hitting it hard in the gaps, and sometimes hitting homers. Not sure, but it is definitely concerning because he was supposed to be the fallback option if Lenin Sosa did poorly, and now he certainly can't be in the majors anytime soon. He has to figure out whatever is wrong with the swing right now.
Okay, higher. I mean, you can go low too again, but you know, in AAA, AA, are there other guys who stand out on this list either way? Guys who should be promoted, or guys who definitely aren't going to be? I mean, what are other names are you know coming into play? You know, because
So I don't know if I thought Christian Mena should be promoted or anything, but he's definitely hit some little bit of a wonk lately. Yeah. He's just allowing a ton of homers, so getting promoted would not help him to Charlotte at all.
No, not to Charlotte. It would
make it worse. I assume he's just kind of working on breaking pitches, and he's just leaving them up way too often and getting hit really hard. Which is fine that he's working on it, but it's not looking great in his stats to say the least.
Yeah.
But other than that, I think a lot, like I would have assumed Brian Ramos, Colson Montgomery and Noah Schultz, had played at their respective levels. Mm-hmm. Does that count as something that someone should have expected coming into the season? But other than that, it's kind of like picking and choosing. Like I would have expected Cole Seamus to do a lot better than he has been in high A and knocking on the door to double A again. But to kind of round it out, I think we can officially retire and say goodbye to the fading dreams that Matt Thompson and Drew Dahlquist and Jerry Kelly are going to be major league starters. I don't know what the next steps for them are. I mean, each of them deserve to be demoted. But I don't know if that demotion is also making them a reliever or what have you. But I think it might be time to kind of see next steps for them to see what they can, if they can provide any value from the pen, or if it's kind of a, you know, Jerry needs some more cash and Can someone trade cash for one of these guys? But
we know the answer to that.
But this could be the first for Jared Kelly. It could be the first kind of high round draft or first round draft pick that hasn't made it to the bigs in a while. So
true.
That would be notable for that draft class. That no baseball 2020 draft class with no first rounder gets from it. Maybe even no players at all get from it. But yeah.
The question then is Matt Thompson of the three had been doing better. The hopes were a little higher for him. It actually seemed like he started the season like maybe he actually was going to put some momentum toward even a Charlotte push, and that stagnated. So you still sort of lump them all together because at some point just the meter's ticking on these guys, and you can't just keep throwing them out in the same spots to fail.
Yeah, I loop them all in together because they were all high school draft picks that all missed a year of pitching. So I kind of gave them the benefit of the doubt for a little bit because they, you know, were extremely young, hadn't pitched a ton, got drafted, went to the pros, big bonus, and then there was no baseball for a year, and then they just kind of missed out on all that. So I feel kind of bad that their kind of development was definitely hindered in that. I don't know if you can actually quantify that. I don't know if in 10 years, you know, Fangraphs or Baseball Prospectus will make a study and be like, this is what happened to all the 2019 and 2022 high school draft picks. Yeah. They all flamed out because they missed a whole year of baseball.
Yeah.
Not sure, but that's why I've always kind of looped them in together because they missed an entire year and it seems like they never recovered from missing that entire year.
And so that nobody yells at us, it'll come up a couple times. Let's make it clear. We are aware, even though he was paid first round money, Jared Kelly, in fact, was a second rounder. The White Sox got that super big steal. So the streak is intact because Garrett Crochet, who's the next guy I'm going to ask you about, Garrett Crochet did majors. Now, Darren, did Garrett Crochet get promoted to, I mean, this now we're getting a speed round or something, but Garrett Crochet, did he get promoted too quickly, or is there nothing more he could do at Charlotte? Or maybe even damage could be done at Charlotte if he stayed much longer? Because it seems like the command, I guess, and control really isn't there. And that's probably not good at the major league level, but at the same time, I'm not sure there's a whole lot of other guys the White Sox have to throw out. So what's your take on sort of how swiftly he moved up? Because he basically moved up pretty much in lockstep with Liam Hendricks, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, he probably, if you're walking nine guys in, I think, five innings, something like that, if your outs and walks are kind of close, you probably should have stayed in.
Move inside tips for Darren Black.
Yeah, I know they're really, like, they needed more guys in that pen because that's just what they need. Yeah. I don't think Liam Hendricks looked like he should have been up there either yesterday, even if it was a fantastic moment. Yeah. Yeah. Not results, but a fantastic moment.
For sure.
They just kind of need guys. And even then, I think Crochet has a significantly lower ERA than Bummer while walking those nine guys. Yeah. But they probably should have stayed there longer and worked out whatever issues they had. Because again, I mean, Hendricks hadn't missed a whole entire year of baseball, but he missed a whole entire year of, you know, I don't know. He was having cancer treatment.
Yeah. I mean, four months taken, you know, out of your life for sure. Because I mean, his announcement, his diagnosis came. I mean, it wasn't in the start of October. This was at the turn of the year. So the fact that
quick turnaround.
Yeah. You think? Yeah. Again, not to reduce this trivia, we probably will actually touch on this again because we'll have trade deadline type of stuff to talk about and where movement might come in, or maybe prospects will be coming into the system. Who knows what's going to happen? Those are fun podcasts to come because we won't just dwell on MVPs. Not that we've done that for like a month now, but we won't just dwell on MVPs every week or what guys do invest in, you know, the DSL. We'll try to, you know, try and do some thought podcasts as well, if I can untie my tongue. But here, we'll just do one trivial speed round. And the encouraging thing is at least the first couple innings I think we saw tonight from Sean Burke were pretty impressive. So that's good. But Darren, I'm going to ask you, if the White Sox need someone to pitch like a starter, like tomorrow, who are they going to choose from the system. We've already discussed a couple names. It could be. I'm curious to know who you think they would actually bring up to pitch for the White Sox, because the cupboard is rough. I have an answer, and it's a goofy one, but I want to hear what you have to say.
I don't know. I guess
this is so sad, Darren. We're talking about the sixth starter in the system. Yeah. This is so sad.
I think it would have to kind of be Nate Fisher, but I think you could squint and see Christian Mania coming up and being okay with that. But I think most likely Nate Fisher. If someone has to go on the 60-day tomorrow, it's probably Nate Fisher.
Well, I'm going to pick another left-hander, Darren. I'm going to go with the hot hand. I'm going with Garrett Davila. So, you know, he was bad in Birmingham. He pitched 2 straight okay games in shot. Stick with the hot hand. I mean, Sean Burke may have just already lapped. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he just got shelled. We're podcasting. I'm not watching Charlotte. Sorry, Knights. But I should be. I'm hosting a farm podcast. What's wrong with me, Darren? But, I mean, you know, Burke really is the guy, you know, whose spot is to lose, even though he's getting a real slow start to the season. But assuming he hasn't ascended to that, the White Sox are like, sure, play in the majors next week, Sean. I mean, obviously, this is just a joke question because there's no answer. I mean, Jesse Schultens shouldn't really be the guy, although he did have a pretty nice bulk. I guess that was a bulk outing. And then even his one start was, I'd rather have it than the guy that he's replaced. So, I mean, listen, you know, hats off to Schultens for that because he's actually been – I mean, he's not a Johnny Cueto fine, but he has been okay for a guy who, again, Han should have probably tried to grab like a half a dozen or a dozen of, and he got, you know, one or two or three. But I guess one is in the majors right now pitching okay. So, Garrett Davila, get ready. Anyway, well, I just figured I'd throw that out there because really the answer is, I mean, the true answer, Darren, is there isn't anybody. You're just going to have to punt that game because there isn't it.
Yeah.
Hopefully Sean Burke can work himself maybe by the end of the month, end of June, into a guy who, like, you're ready to say, okay, yeah, he really could be that guy. Not that you want him up there, but if he had to, he could. But other than that, or Christian Mena as well. But, I mean, right now, nobody. Might as well be me or you, Darren.
Prefer a veteran, yeah.
I mean, how is your wiffle ball arm? I mean, you know, I know we had tough game just a couple days. Just a couple days ago. And yeah, that's right. You're just coming off of your rotator cuff surgery. Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, geez, this guy shouldn't be throwing. This guy's DH only for another couple of weeks. Jeez. But I'll say my Frisbee, it may be as good as a few of these names that we're throwing up there, but yeah, really it's a sad state of the system, which is always the great point we want to end up on here on the Sox Pop on the Farm podcast. Thanks for joining us. I think we brought out some real positive stories and some stories that are so positive. It's like, why are they still paused where they are? What's going on? I mean, there have been some really nice storylines for in the White Sox system this year. And I mean, among 120 or whatever players, I guess there should be a few, but there are some really strong ones given that some of the headliners like haven't even played. So, you know, that's encouraging. And there've been some real disappointments as well. And unfortunately, a lot of those are arms. And until Tristan Stevers or Caleb Freeman, et cetera, can like stretch out to 5 innings, we're just really not going to have bulk guys who are ready for the majors. And that still seems like it's a few years off, Darren. And that's a gap I don't think the White Sox can really straddle because they got nothing beginning next. Well, they don't have anything this year. They definitely don't have anything next year. I don't really know what they're going to do. Maybe we're going to draft another, I don't know, 30 college arms again this year. I don't know. But that'll be fun as we get closer to it. We'll speculate on what the White Sox will do. I need to know your plan. You need to rescue this franchise, Darren. You thought this was just a podcast. We need you a savior. Well, anyhow, savior Darren Black, still rehabbing that rotator cuff injury. He'll be back. Friends, he'll be back by September. Might be able to do a spot start for the White Sox. And they might be calling. They might be asking by that time. They might be bothering the Sox pop.
You get 2 extra roster spots.
Exactly. Who's justifying filling them right now? I don't know who that would be. Anyhow, we are going to be back in a week. I don't know if we're going to do more like essay question, higher minded podcast, or we're going to just drill down and talk a little bit more player by player in the system. Not sure how we're going to do it. We'll see. I usually just decide a minute or two before we go to air, and Darren says, thanks for all the prep time, Brett. I'm going to come across as a real knowledgeable expert for you pulling the carpet out from under me. But as always, a trooper, Darren Black, even when he is capless, is quite a trooper. Thank you for hopping on with me. We'll do it again, hopefully, in a week, and hopefully there'll be some good stuff to talk about, including, let's face it, come on, in 7 days, a promotion or two maybe to talk about? Come on, White Sox, do it for us. We got to have some stuff to talk about that isn't just like, why is Tim Mulco still having to eat the food in Kannapolis instead of the delicious food in Winston-Salem? Give the guy a different spread. Come on, man, White Sox. Jeez. And throw DJ up to Birmingham, too. He needs a little taste of Alabama. I don't know if anybody needs a taste of Alabama, but if anybody does, it is DJ Gladney. Okay, well, thanks, everybody, for listening. As always, hopefully you learned a couple things. I know I did. I always do. Darren always helps me out there. And hopefully I didn't embarrass anyone out there too much with my tongue twists. Anyhow, we'll be back in a week or so with number 47. Who knows what the title will be, but thanks for hanging in for this one, and we'll be back in a week or so.